So where are we going to start this week? We've done about 3 weeks looking at, we started on, supposed to start on nanotech, and it kind of mutated into all of the implications that nanotech brings, the future of precision medicine, how Obamacare is really the net that's being dropped down on us with the biopharmaceutical, military, industrial government complex to rule your bodies, and you're going to lose the very last bastions of freedom. And if you notice, finally, 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 and how weird is this? 3 weeks we've been chanting, chanting. I don't know if we were chanting, bitching, how's that? Ranting about this stuff. And finally, 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 it appears the rest of them all caught up. I've seen a bunch of articles this weekend about people going, uh-oh, this whole vaccine thing isn't about vaccines. It's about losing the rights to do what you want to with your body. Yes, it is. It sure is. But here's the thing. Even those who have been really close, they still haven't seen it all. And that is this precision medicine, crazy, whacked out nano stuff. And that's already going on. So, right now they're kind of setting the stage and they're setting the fight. We have this, and I posted this yesterday because it infuriated me. So, we looked at something similar to this on Friday over this measles thing. I was talking to my dad this weekend too. And he said what I said. Now I had the measles, I told you guys, in college, and that was right when I saw recently, that was apparently when we had an outbreak in the nation between like 1989 and 1991. I was diagnosed by doctors having measles. They're like, "Wow, how weird is that? You were vaccinated." Yeah. We looked at some of that too, where people had gotten vaccinated and gotten measles. But what I was saying is in the past, measles wasn't any worse than really chicken pox. I mean, there were complications. You could definitely get sick if stuff went awry. You could get encephalitis, but it wasn't a symptom of measles. It was a secondary infection that happened. And they had found, I was reading a little bit more this weekend, they found that people with higher doses of vitamin A in their systems actually did way better with measles. And so one of the ways to combat measles is nutrition. And how amazing that a lot of these viruses we've discovered over the last 20 or 30 years, a big protection against getting sick is, hey, nutrition, something they don't teach anything to doctors about. They don't learn about nutrition short of a week or two in college. And hey, you know what? Just in case, on the off chance we happen to have molecular biologists or geneticists or surgeons or some of the new precision healthcare doctors or just a doctor in general that listens to the show, you know what? I am going to unforward the phones. I think they're probably forwarded to Dr. Simon still. Yes. I'm going to unforward the phones. And I'm going to give out UCY's email address because I would love, love, love to have you on as a guest. I really would like to pick your brain. So, someone into genetics, bioinformatics, nanotechnology would be nice. Anything like that, or even just a doctor or a dentist, even. If anybody, and I won't tell anyone who you are, we can keep it all confidential, but I would love to have a conversation with you and get some thoughts as to not only what we're talking about here, but I'd like to get your side of the story because this isn't fair. It's not fair. I sit here and rant every day and you can't defend yourself. Or tell us what it's really like out there. I would like to know that. From this side of the fence, one can only assume. Not really. I mean, I read a lot, but hey, you can't walk in someone else's shoes unless you've been there, right? And so I would love to hear from somebody. If you're out there, geneticist, medical professional of some sort, or another and you would like to call in and set me straight about vaccines or nanotechnology, give me a call, 718-717-8296. If we don't hear from you today, then I am continuing. I am taking that as a stamp of approval. But seriously, email address, contact.ucytv@gmail.com. I would love to have someone from the medical profession or bioengineering of some sort on the show, genetics, any of those. It would be really great. I have lots and lots of questions. Okay. So anyway, story comes out mainstream yesterday. This is Today, if you remember that morning show, Today, the Today Show. This must be NBC, I believe. Yeah, NBC News. Under the parent section. And this came up in an interview we had heard on Friday, but now it's out there in a story. Should you be able to sue a parent for not vaccinating their child? Well, hey, you can't sue the vaccine makers if your child ends up brain damaged. You end up in a pool in a settlement. Say you take your family on a trip to Disneyland and your baby gets measles. Perhaps suffers severe complications and can no longer hear or is left with brain damage. Do you like the way they're setting that up? How about you take your baby to Disneyland and the doctor recommends that your baby get the measles shot before you go? Your baby gets the measles shot, but then suffers severe complications and can no longer hear or is left with brain damage. How about that way? How about the tale of two scenarios? So if that happened to my baby and I got them vaccinated, can I sue the doctor? Can I sue the vaccine maker for $10 bazillion? Because my pride and joy is now scarred for the rest of his or her life? What is the life of a human worth? How do we put a price tag on that? I'm going to tell you guys, when I read this stuff, and I heard that clip on Friday with that Chris freaking Cuomo, I wish all the Cuomos would just go away, mind you. But that Chris Cuomo setting the stage, well, you know, could there be legal ramifications? Could they be sued? And he says, we're not, the laws aren't there yet. That's what he said. You better believe they're probably working on the laws to be there soon. All right, I'm going to continue. Would you want to sue the parents who voluntarily decided not to vaccinate their child, thus allowing the disease to pass to your baby? Well, could we sue the government and all involved if there was a vaccine that was given against our will? It's a growing debate, especially as measles cases in the United States have been rising steadily for the last few years. Yes, I was talking to my dad this week, and just as I had said, where measles, if you really dig into the signs, the symptoms, the progression of the virus of measles, it wasn't really that much more horrific than chickenpox. I mean, I really find it interesting that they followed it up after the whole Ebola scare, fake scare, ramped up scare to set the stage. You know, they got everyone scared now that you're going to be bleeding out your eyeballs with measles. Wrong. No hemorrhagic measles that I'm aware of yet. Though they're probably working on it in the lab. But my dad said the same thing. He's like, Joel, when I was growing up, we got chicken pox, you got measles, then it was over. Right. And so did all the kids. And as a matter of fact, the kids with the better nutrition didn't get the measles. So why this hysteria? Well, because they're setting the mindset. They're taking control now of our personal space. Obamacare was the first toe in the water. No one could understand why we had to do this because it was the focal point to the rest of what's coming. They now control us at the genetic level. That's where they're pushing. I mean, they don't right now, but they're gonna. As soon as you get into that electronic medical health records and they implement precision health care because it's going to save us all, your genes become part of the collective. Actually, I just saw a big story, another big story about that the other day, about how, you know, this is going to be such an amazing thing and all we have to do is just give up our data. I'm going to go through some of the stuff. I guess we're going to have to catch up because I really want to get into nanotech and food, but I'm now like 2 weeks back in my stories that I wanted to hit on for you guys. And there was some setup that I really wanted to do before we got there. All right. So we've been talking about nanotechnology, but all the different forms. So getting back to this vaccine thing, just don't fall for it. And I'm telling you what, there's definitely not good futures here for any of us. You know, New York and California, I'm sure, are going to be first. We've seen now. Actually, let's get back to UCY for a second, because we've seen a couple different things. This one was just unbelievable. They are trying to paint all of us as whack jobs, and they've been doing that for a long time. But now it's going to be the parents who are standing up for making sure that their kids aren't polluted by this. My Facebook page closed now, so if I don't get there, I guess we'll have to look at it later or whatever. Maybe I can do another one. But there was a, they called them a Christian couple. And it's interesting the way they always put labels on people, right? Because they are still trying to divide and conquer. We have Christians versus Jews versus Muslims. Of course, that's a big debate. It maybe also should have said Christian white couple, because they've already, you know, reactivated the shiv between black versus white. Maybe it should be white Christian Pacific Northwest couple, because, you know, those crunchies up in Washington State, we know that they walk around with dreadlocks and have ideas of freedom up there. You know, it's just unbelievable how they push those buttons. But what really bothered me about this, and of course, when I first read the title, I was like, oh, Christian couple on the run. But what was very disturbing about this is that the parents, I read the story and I took a look at them, and then I found the story of when they first became quote unquote criminals back in like October, November, December. It was right toward the end of the year. And basically, here's what happened. They had a home birth. Here it is. They had a home birth without doctor's intervention. Now, I don't know if I would have the courage to do that. I mean, I've told you guys how horrible my pregnancy was, and things didn't go too well. I mean, I almost didn't make it there. And so if I would have done that at home, probably wouldn't have worked out too well for me. I get a sneeze. Hold on. Okay, I had to hit the mute. It probably wouldn't have worked out too well for me. But there are people that I've known that, you know, they hardly even knew that they were pregnant, 1, 2, 3, and it's out. And they're on tomorrow to do their thing. And so it's very possible. I mean, if you're healthy enough and able to deal with the situation, that's fine. But she didn't have a doula. She didn't have a midwife. And that's kind of where their issue was. Now, people accidentally give birth, like in a cab or whatever, but this apparently was on purpose. So listen to this headline. Fugitive couple who fled after losing their custody of their children are found. This was in California yesterday. Like I said, when I first read the story, I was like, oh. Actually, the title was a little bit different, but that's the way it pulled out. It was like, moment children were taken away from Christian couple who went on the run when officials tried to take the kids into foster care over families, and this is a quote, over families' holistic lifestyle. Now, if anyone has heard, and I don't know where this is from, but you know the one that says, you know, first they came for the whoever. First they came for the Patriots. But I ignored them because it wasn't me or whatever. Well, now they're coming for the Christians who want to save their children. And here, this is one of the woman's quotes, and this is what got me. Her quote in the story is, "Send a message to America for me. Children don't belong to the government. The government belongs to the people." Now, she is 100% correct. And this is exactly what we've been saying and what we're seeing happening. And this woman and her husband were on the run because they had a home birth. And it ended up being a home birth of twins. So, you know, things could have gone wrong. But guess what? It should be her choice. You know what? Not only could there have been complications with the twins, but she could have died too. She didn't want to be involved with the medical establishment because she knows what happens. And she knows that the second you pop a child out, they start stabbing them full of stuff. And dropping drops in their eyes and all kinds of stuff that you have no control over. This is the dramatic moment. A devoutly Christian couple. And the picture are California cops grabbing her, putting her into handcuffs. And there's lots of them on the street as this poor woman is screaming and they're taking her children away. This dramatic moment, a devoutly Christian couple who went on the run with their children after losing custody of them were finally tracked down, and the mother was arrested for attacking police. She did. She went crazy yesterday. Erica Carey, 29, and Cleve Goheen Rango, 23, were spotted in California on Thursday, more than a week after they fled with their twin babies and toddler son from their Washington state home. Oh, it happened in Santa Cruz. When police arrived at the Santa Cruz gas station, my friend actually used to live there, my old friend from college. When police arrived at the Santa Cruz gas station that the couple had been sighted at, they discovered the youngsters, twins Moran, Kai, and Daniel, and their one-year-old son, Levi, unharmed. However, and I love the way they make it sound like this woman would have harmed her kids. I mean, all of this is occurring because the woman doesn't want them to harm her kids. However, when Child Protective Services workers arrived to take the children into protective custody, Carey allegedly lashed out, kicking and headbutting officers while begging Jesus for help. And you know, they make it sound like the way they're saying this. Oh, she begged Jesus for help. What a crazy woman. Well, there's not much left to do when you got five cops holding you down and some scumbags from fucking CPS are taking away your three babies that you've been trying to protect. And the only reason why you're on the run. Like, when I read this, I was like, holy fucking shit. It's really happening. And they demonize this woman like she's a loop-de-loo. Because she's believes in Jesus? I know lots of people who believe in Jesus. I mean, some of them might be a little whack jobby, but most people aren't. It's just a belief system. It's to make you feel that they're different than you, that they should be scary, that they're whack jobs. Anything that's going to emphasize something different about them that can ostracize them. She asked Jesus for help. Well, we must take away her children then. She was quickly arrested, but not before she had screamed at the local cameraman, quote, Send a message to America for me. Children don't belong to the government. The government belongs to the people, unquote. Now, if this woman were a religious Fruit Loop, would she not have been screaming to the people of America, to someone, please go get Jesus to save my kids? Because that's what I was thinking. The fact that she's pointing out exactly what we've been saying. This is happening, people. They're coming for the kids. They are going to take control of your most precious possessions. And I told you that they even told us that in that FEMA class 8 or 9 years ago. They told us the terrorists were going to attack our children because that strikes the heart of America. Well, I guess we were right. They are the terrorists. This is very, very upsetting to me. And listen to this. Her partner was not arrested, while her children, who reportedly had been underfed and deprived of proper medical care by the couple, who live a, quote, holistic Christian lifestyle, unquote, were handed to CPS. Why was her partner not arrested? They're both parents in the situation for these three kids. Shouldn't he have been held responsible? Officials arrived at Carrie and Goheen Rango Bellingham home on January 28th to take Moran, Kai, Daniel, and Levi into protective custody amid serious health concerns. But on arrival, they discovered the couple who hit the headlines last year after saying that they lost custody of their twins for delivering them via home birth with no assistance, had fled with their children. Their escape was not deemed a criminal kidnapping, nor an Amber Alert investigation. Instead, it was considered a civil violation involving the defiance of CPS court orders, it is reported. So how interesting that the news now is saying that they were chasing after them because of serious health concerns about these children and that they were underfed. But in the original story, and I found that original story, mind you, the original story came out that they were coming after them because this woman delivered twins without assistance at home. There was nothing about malnutrition originally. It says a be on the lookout warning was issued. Now, did you notice, too, they said about the Amber Alert? Remember we talked about that with the digital dashboards, or not dashboards, the digital, what are they called, along the side of the highway? Oh, Cupidal, it's early. Oh, I remember in a second here. The digital, I hate Monday mornings. What are they called? The digital. You know what I'm talking about. The things along the side of the road. You can buy, rent space on them, right? But they didn't. They didn't do Running Man with them yet. Anyway, be on the lookout. Warning was issued to police across the West Coast. And yeah, someone in chat actually pointed out with those license plate trackers, they definitely can track thousands, if not millions, of cars in a short period of time. They put the scanners, I was looking in Colorado, as a matter of fact, the other day, they implemented them in, I don't remember the number of cars. Was it 18 or 180 cars? There was quite a number of cars that they implemented the license plate readers in, but it was actually in the car itself. I originally had thought when I was reading about license plate scanners that they were putting them like on the traffic cameras, but not that I saw, at least in Colorado. One of the things they are doing, though, in New York State is at the toll booths, they are scanning everyone's license plates. So just be aware of that. They say it's for the Easy Pass system, right? So you can go in and out. And if you blow through a toll booth, they'll know who you are. But I'm sure that it has a lot to do with knowing where you are as well. Local news outlets also ran the notice saying that the police were looking for them. The Be on the Lookout was issued across the West Coast. This led to a member of the public, see something, say something, recognizing the family at the gas station, and they called authorities. People, what kind of a society have we become? That somebody literally called the police on this mother and father who are trying to keep their children out of the tyrannical system that we've created. And they're being hunted for nothing less than giving home birth to their children. It's just horrifying to me. And we saw, right as the lead up to this, in multiple states now, in New York, there was a lawsuit that apparently we lost, the people. In California now, they're talking about pushing new legislation to get rid of the religious exemption against vaccinations. And for that religious exemption, that was kind of like the catch-all. You didn't have to be a religious fanatic to say my religion bans vaccines. You could use that as the kind of backdoor loophole to say, hey, I don't agree with this, without saying, hey, I don't agree with this. But the fact that a resident called the police on this couple to say that they found them is very disturbing. I mean, this is the way it's going to end up, guys. You know, we think that everything is so slow in this computer. We think that it's going to be just us versus, like, you know, the police, or us versus whoever it is today that becomes the next tentacle in the infinipus. But there's a lot more. I mean, it's your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your cousin, whoever thinks you're doing something weird. They might call somebody anonymously for their $50 Walmart card. And you know, one of the more interesting things, too, we've been seeing with police brutality cases and stuff, I noticed on a few different press conferences that behind whoever was giving the press conference, there was a blue background. And we'd seen it to see something, say something, see something, say something, almost subliminally behind the cops. Well, DHS is actually at it again because they released not one, but two see something, say something public service announcements now again out of DHS here. Actually, they're going to use sports figures this time. Oh, if we join the call, it'll work. Here we go. Maybe. Guess what? It's not letting Jules join the call. Huh. That's weird. Hold on. Let's see if I can call myself. Problem with playback device, it says. Well, I guess they told me now, didn't they? So all of a sudden, my whole computer has a problem with the playback device. Earth. Everything was fine 5 minutes ago, right as the show started. I connected. It shows that I have volume. Well, you know what? I'm just chalking up to money. Well, I guess, damn it! I wanted to play you some Michio Kaka, too. Oh, man. Well, we're going to have to figure this out then for tomorrow morning. Worst case, I'll have to use the other computer. Skype, even though it has me added to this call, will not allow me to connect. It just goes bloop, bloop, and it disconnects me and tells me I have a problem with the playback. All right, whatever. I'm not going to get aggravated. Let's go back there. Sorry, guys. Monday. Mondays always suck. Welcome to my world. All right, So let's finish the story anyway. On Thursday, the Highway Patrol and Santa Cruz County Sheriff deputies stormed the gas station where they found the fugitive couple and their children. They then called CPS to the scene. When social workers arrived, Carrie allegedly became enraged, headbutting the California Highway Patrol sergeant and kicking a deputy while screaming obscenities and praying to Jesus. She headbutted one of our sergeants and kicked a sheriff's deputy, CHP officer Bradley Sadek said. Carrie was then arrested. She has since been charged with refusing to cooperate with law enforcement, resisting arrest, and battery on an officer. CHP spokesman said he could understand why Carrie was so upset. We feel for their plight. Well, then why did you do this? As often as we seem like machines following orders, it can be emotionally jarring for us too. What is it supposed to make me feel bad for the cops who did this? The officer added, we are human beings. Everyone out there has kids of their own. We wanted to make this as comfortable for those kids as we would want for our own kids. And I'm going to tell you, these kids do not look malnourished to me. And the fact that the first thing they do is they steal your children. I mean, they even show this in the story. They show a picture of the woman when she was pregnant. She's got a pretty big belly on her. And she's doing like a yoga pose. Well, if anyone's ever been pregnant or had a significant other who was pregnant, if you're getting close to 8 months or so and you can do a yoga pose, you're in pretty damn good shape. Because by that point, all you want to do is get that thing out of you. And the only way to really move around is to have somebody tip you sideways and roll you. Unbelievable. I don't know. These people don't look freaky to me. These people don't look dirty to me. These people and the kids don't look malnourished to me. I'm really just flabbergasted by this whole thing. And then they, of course, said that the police and social workers had tried to comfort the children during this incident. We're talking pretty much two newborns and a one-year-old. The couple's children had previously been removed from their home last November following the twins' birth 1 month earlier amid reports that they were underweight with improper medical care. And I'm going to tell you also, any child in the beginning, especially if you're breastfeeding them, they might take a while to be able to latch on and get their proper nutrition. But unless the child is gaunt, I mean, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I know that my daughter, when she first started breastfeeding, she wasn't up to the weight that she should have been. She lost a little weight right at the beginning. But I mean, that, you know, it takes them a little bit of time. They have to get used to it. They're not born. I mean, they have the reflex, but they're not born and you're not necessarily going to work right at the beginning. I mean, you're supposed to, but. Carrie and Goheen Ranglo claim their refusal to travel to the hospital with paramedics who were called to the house. Now, this is the second time because the paramedics were called to the house after a neighbor called 911 because they heard her giving birth. Contributed to CPS's decision. However, the state denied this, saying that the children were actually removed for health and domestic reasons, including the couple's apparent refusal to let Levi's eczema be treated with proper medication. And I'm going to tell you what else. My daughter had eczema when she was born. And what did they give her? Steroids. The guy said, social workers wanted the authority in my household, and I told them I'm a Christian, and God gave me the authority in my own household. Carrie and Goheen Rango live in a self-proclaimed holistic lifestyle based on their Christian beliefs. The couple who conceived Levi. This is weird. The couple who conceived Levi just hours after first meeting each other. Okay. That's probably the first weird, not even, but the fact that they make that a point to tell you that in the story. Only realized they were having twins after the birth of the first baby in October because she had not had an ultrasound. They were handed back their children in December, but they were still under state protection, so they would be checked upon regularly. Carrie and Goheen Rango were also made to undergo counseling at the time. Commissioner Thomas Verge told the couple that their religious beliefs had caused a chaotic home life for their children. He added that if the state believed the children's lives were in danger again, they would be removed. This is about second chances because you blew the first one, said Verge to the couple. But Mr. Verge also pointed out that he could see the, quote, love you both have for your children. I don't even have anything to say to the story. When CPS heard that the children had been returned, they said, quote, we accept this ruling and we work with the family to provide them with services aimed at helping keep the children safe in their home. Yeah, we accept this ruling. We had heard of another story. I'm trying to remember which host, Brandon Turbeville, had covered Katerina Jaleva, I think her name was. Katerina's son had been taken. It was all bullshit accusations by an ex-husband, and they came and took the kid because they take the kid before they investigate, and it was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. She went through all kinds of hearings and investigations that none of the false accusations by her ex ever happened, and it was out of malice that he was making false accusations because she had custody of the child. Except that CPS would not accept what the court said and refused to give her child back. They had had her child for over 5 years. She had fought and gone to court and spent every penny she had fighting to get that child back. And even though all the laws said that she was in the clear, that nothing ever happened, that they had approved for her to get her child back, they wouldn't give the child back. I should check with Brandon to see whatever happened with that story, because he interviewed her 3 or 4 different times. That was a very heart-wrenching story. I also have a friend who is a CPS attorney. And let me just tell you, I've heard some pretty unbelievable stories that had I not heard it direct from somebody who has spent many years working in the system, I wouldn't have believed everything that you read at times. But they are. They're tyrannical. So they mention it in here, though, that they decided to accept the fact that they were giving the children back. Then once they gave the children back, the couple ran. It was only after the couple who were common law married in Washington, because they never got a marriage license, decided to have their home birth, that CPS became involved. I've done a lot of research about other women who have done it. And they said that the spiritual experience was so much more wholesome. It was just us. We wanted to preserve that sanctity and sacredness in our birth, said Carrie, as she justified her decision to give birth at home. CPS began showing up at their home after a 9/11 call in November and said that after they took custody of the children, after Levi had developed pneumonia and an ear infection. Now what? Wait, I thought they said before that the children were malnourished and that's why they took them. Now Levi had pneumonia and an ear infection. Assistant Attorney General Rob Olson told the Washington court that officials have been in contact with the couple 21 times since 2013. Over their apparent refusal to provide proper medical care. Yes, and in the future, guys, and we'll see, but in the future, you absolutely know that not providing proper medical care is going to be not getting your children immunized with vaccines that are full of who knows what. And over the weekend, too, by the way, we might have to dig into this a little bit more. Over the weekend, by the way, there were a couple stories that came out where people had exercised FOIA requests against the CDC. And very interesting. Oops, they released some documents they probably shouldn't have that actually showed that that MMR vaccine is causing damage to children. Wow. Believe that one. Law enforcement had concerns that the children were underweight. Why is that? Because they're not eating high fructose corn syrup, so they don't have big bellies on them. They were also worried about domestic issues between the couple, such as Rango's mental health and bipolar disorder. Oh, what? So they dug into his medical records? Like, I don't get this. They seem to know a lot about this couple. However, Christina Nelson King, the attorney for the couple, argued that, quote, most of the safety risks were primarily speculative. Parents have a constitutional right to parent as they see fit, said their attorney. But he criticized them for their attitude toward the CPS, which he said was doing its job properly. Well, of course he does, because he's an attorney. Attorneys have to kiss CPS's ass, because otherwise it'll affect them for every other case they have. He said they did exactly what they should do, adding that they tried everything to help this family and were met by resistance. So what, this guy like just totally switched sides? Their lives are dedicated to these children. They are not the enemy. They are the heroes. That's what this guy said about CPS. Washington governor. Here's another thing that's interesting. How often do you see governors getting involved in child protective cases? This definitely is one of those red button stories that they're going to use as precedent. Washington Governor Jay Inslee waded into the controversial case to recognize the support the Rango family received last year. I want to thank you for your concern and willingness to be vocal, said Governor Jay Inslee on his official Facebook page. The governor also sought to clarify any rumors surrounding the removal of the children by social services. I would like to be clear. Every child's safety is our top priority in situations like these. Rumors have circulated that the removal of the Rango children was due to breastfeeding or to their home births. Those rumors are false. Breastfeeding and the home birthing are not factors that would cause CPS to take children from a home. Their removal from the home was based on factors unrelated to a home birth or breastfeeding. You know, did you notice that in this story, depending on who you talk to, whether it was the attorney, the CPS, the cops, the people who were involved, the father and mother, or the governor, every story is different. Or actually the headline news from Yahoo back in November. The story's all different. This really wasn't going to be my focus today, but I really thought that you should read that, because that is our future. You know, that wasn't made a headline story because it was a crazy Catholic Christian couple. That was made headline story because they're trying to set precedent. And look at how easy that was. Six different reasons why you took all the children away, and no one's questioning going, what? Home birth? What? And I'm telling you, when you breastfeed, you don't have, look at the ingredients in formula. Look at all the poisons in there and look at all the fillers. And I mean, there's some stuff that's better than others, but breast milk is going to keep you slim and trim as a kid. All right, I want to get back to this today's story now about whether or not parents can be sued if someone else gets sick because you haven't vaccinated your children. Like I said, I want to know if we could turn that story around. If your child gets vaccinated, who can we sue the fuck out of if my kid gets brain damaged? Because guess what? From this is according to the story, but we've known this from a legal standpoint. Vaccines in the U.S. are classified as unavoidably unsafe, meaning that injuries or deaths, however rare, may occur from the product. It's pointed out that the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, which gives doctors and manufacturers liability protection from injuries caused by federally recommended vaccines, means that you cannot sue your doctor or a vaccine maker if your child has an adverse reaction. See, guys, that right there is the pivotal reason why they're going to come after us with nanotech and vaccines, because there's no liability at all. Those who oppose liability argue that it must cut both ways. If parents can sue one another for not vaccinating a child, then manufacturers should be subjected to the same tort system. Hear, hear. Yes, but that was from those who oppose. Those are the crazy people who are saying that. I mean, this right here, I think I should make sure that I publish this today, because I'm sure that people forget that. There's a vaccine court. You cannot do a class action lawsuit and get together 10,000 parents and sue the shit out of a vaccine company. All right, this is back to this today story. In his blog post, 8 Reasons I Haven't Vaccinated My Daughter, James Maskell, founder of Revive Primary Care, a holistic care website, cites his inability to fully use the legal system as the fourth cause for not vaccinating his child. Quote, "Unlike other drugs or products on the market, if my daughter has a serious or even deadly reaction to a vaccine, I can't go all Aaron Brockovich and sue the doctor, the nurse, the drug company, or form a class action lawsuit with others." Exactly. And you know what? If the vaccines were so damn safe, then they'd be willing to step up and stand behind their product. If the anti-vaccine trends continue, we're likely only seeing the beginning of the liability debate. In fact, measles may be one of the easier legal test cases, as it is one of the most contagious diseases. And yes, measles is contagious, but like I said, it isn't Ebola. You're not bleeding out of every orifice. It's a childhood disease that everybody got back in the 50s. And had very, very low mortality rates. It was only 1 or 2, 0.1 or 0.2%. A person infected with the virus has a 90% chance of passing it on to someone else, but some parents, amid the outbreak, believe their children are still better off without the vaccine, and other families may start trying to hold them accountable for their decision. I don't know. This is just pretty insane. So there's that story too. I dropped that into chat. They're on the Before the First Cup Facebook page as well. So where do we go from here? I can't play a clip. So that kind of sucks. So let me see what else I have for you in the last few minutes. Oh, here we go. All right. This will set the stage for tomorrow. So we've been talking about nanotechnology. nanotech and vaccines, precision healthcare, how bringing in geneticists and the FDA, who now has a new changing of the guard, remember? The FDA, the woman who had just passed more drugs fast tracking than ever before in the FDA in her tenure over the last 6 years. And now this guy that's going to be taking over, who's all about this precision healthcare. I'm going to have geneticists, doctors, venture capitalists, regulatory bodies, and the FDA all involved in your healthcare that's run by the government. And Obamacare is not really a healthcare plan, so it's not covered under any anti-kickback statutes any longer, like Medicare and Medicaid. And you got the vaccine corporations who have no liability whatsoever because of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. You see them loading these vaccines with RNAi technology, newfangled, messing around with our RNA and our DNA, using nanotech to target cells. You see them stealing children for trying to have a home birth. You see Monsanto using the same RNAi technology in their new crops as of 2014 in their R&D, as they're putting in our vaccines. That should be a red alert. There's a story here, and we might actually start here tomorrow, titled Muzzled by Monsanto. This is a very well-renowned scientist, 30 years doing research on genetic modification, and she's even coming out saying that, wow, Houston, we got a problem with these new technologies, and we should back up the truck before it's too late and the genie has gotten too far out of the bottle. And they shut her up. Why would they do that? Well, because she says she has research showing that these RNAi GMOs may be dangerous. And I would concur from everything that I've read. We not only are giving up the rights to deciding and controlling what can go into our bodies, but literally, we are giving up the right by allowing this stuff to be injected into us and put into our food that we then ingest to release the stuff into our bodies. We are losing control at a cellular and at an atomic level. And that's where we're going to start tomorrow. Is we're going to kick it off with nanotech, looking at what it is, all the different forms. We'll look at Monsanto. We'll look at some of these crazy corporations and what they're doing. We'll look at the FDA, and then we're going to look at our food and some of the things that they're already doing with it. All right, guys. Well, sorry for some of the technical glitches, but again, it's Monday. That's the way it always goes. Make sure you drink some coffee, stay warm, dig out. It's going to be some major digging here this afternoon. Tonight is Monday night, so it's always good radio tonight. I might start mixing it up a little bit at the 6 and 7 o'clock hour. I got to take a look at the schedule. Michael Cross with Unlock the Door at 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys catch that one. There was a dude that he had on. I don't remember his name. He was an attorney, but it was all about symbolism in the media. It was actually a great episode. Brand new from Brandon Turbeville, Truth on the Tracks at 9 p.m. Eastern. At 10, United Front Radio with Daniela and Kyle, and Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DB at 11. I am not hearing my bumper music either, so something is totally going on here. All right, guys, have a happy Monday. We will catch you later. Take care.